China. Titties. Labia. Ovaries. Broadcast.
Hello, and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's good to see your lovely faces twice in 1 week.
I know. How lucky are we?
Spoiled. 3 times in Amanda's case.
That's true. I've been seeing a lot of you.
I know. But that's good. That's good.
It is good.
Yeah, we had a lovely evening last night. Good times. So I met the one and only wonderful Daniel, who was good people, even though I'm sure he thought that I was a crazy person.
Only a little bit crazy. Yeah. Which is true. I mean, I've known you for 15 years, and I think you're a little bit crazy. So he picked up on it pretty quick.
And yet you're still here.
I love your crazy.
I know. Oh. I listened to that Britney Spears song yesterday in the car on the way to you. You know, the I Got You Crazy.
Oh, right. Well, how does the rest of that song go? It was there in my brain.
Womanizer. You see, I got you crazy.
Just the fuck you want.
That reminded me of that. But so, speaking of music, I guess, I finally watched Lemonade the other night because I saw Beyonce's performance at the VMAs and I was like, this is good. I know I should watch it. I know, you know, it's like a pop culture or just a cultural thing that like I really need to be caught up on. So I watched it and it is fucking amazing. I loved it.
I have not seen it yet either because I know it's like not safe for work. And I feel like that's when I watch most like sort of YouTube and like.
It's definitely not safe for work.
Yeah. It was on like HBO Go for a while, right? Where can you even watch it now?
No, I don't think it was on HBO Go. I think that was her other thing that was on HBO Go.
Her other thing that it was just like, and it was only for a short period of time. It was just like when it first dropped. So I have to buy it on iTunes?
I bought it on iTunes.
Okay. I will have to inquire. But you liked it. You thought your white girl self really related.
I don't know if I related, but I was like, I was just taken in. Like, I didn't take any stops to, like, pee or check my phone. I just watched it. And I watched it after everybody went to sleep here. And I had it on my laptop in the room I'm in now. And I had the lights off. And I was just like, I'm just going to watch this and see, like, because I really liked what I saw on the VMAs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was great. So there's that. And I also listened to the album like twice yesterday on the way. It was like Beyonce and Britney.
Nice. That's pretty good like road trip in music, I feel like.
Yeah, I thought so too. We can, I guess, move on. I had a moment today, guys. I went to the bagel store, forgot my phone at home. And I only had mild withdrawal symptoms that whole half hour I was without my phone. It was incredible. I was a little proud of myself.
I sometimes like to let my phone battery die. I feel like there's something really cool about like being kind of off the grid, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it stresses me out.
I mean, because I got a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, so I had to wait for them to cook and toast that shit, and I mean, it was a whole 5 minutes, and it was awesome.
So you had to stand there and maybe talk to the people next to you.
Well, yeah, I
maybe like
watch.
Pick up a.
Oh, actually, okay. If I had my phone, I would have. There was this like, oh god, this is horrible. There was this kid. He must have been maybe 11, 12, 13. And he was leaning against the counter and slipped.
Oh, no.
And I felt so bad because he was a little bit bigger. Like, he wasn't a fat kid, but he was a little bit bigger. And, like, his mom had told him to stop doing that to begin with, and he wasn't listening. And then he, like, slipped.
And then karma took over. And
And she was like, I told you so.
Yes. Like, I told you not to do that.
Exactly. Like, his face was like, ah. And she was like, told you to stop doing that. It was so funny. Oh, my God. It was also, I didn't laugh out loud. Like, I was able to contain myself. I was like, it's okay. Good. You know, that could have been you.
Yeah, that might be your life in a couple years.
Exactly. So there was that. Also in random, today in random.
On this day in random.
On this day in random, there was a chicken walking outside down the street in front of my parents' house in the middle of suburbia Long Island.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. It's like those episodes in Orange is the New Black with the chicken.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
Did somebody have chickens at their house and one of them got loose?
I think so.
Little farm fresh eggs.
My parents said somebody like around the corner has. So this chicken has made it a decent amount, I guess, you know, halfway around the block. But like, it was so random. And then this is also awful. So, Shandy, I know I've told it on the tribe, but I don't know if I told it here that with me and the term chicken head.
What?
Chicken no, head?
You I have not because I don't know about what that is. Yeah.
I told it on the tribe. I swear to God I have. Maybe you weren't on that episode. So
I listen to the ones I'm not on. Anyway, do tell. I'm sure I just forgot because I have horrible memory.
So in my junior high and high school, the term chicken head was a term for like a girl that gave a lot of fellatio.
A girl that gave a lot of head. What? Chicken head?
Okay. Well, I never got it either. I've brought up the chicken head term before because nobody seems to know except people in my high school. Like, nobody knows this. I've
never heard of it. It seems like somebody who wouldn't want to give head because you're like chicken of giving head.
No. I always, too, was very confused. And then today, my mom came in after looking at the chicken outside with Zach. And she was just like,
oh, dear.
Zachary, show mommy how the chicken walked. And she was like,
There it is. 2 years old,
I was like, oh, that's where that term comes from. And then all night at dinner, it was, mommy, do the chicken, because Zach thought it was the funniest thing. And so at dinner, all dinner, I had to like, and I was like, I am so uncomfortable right now, but I can't say a word. So I got up in the middle of dinner and wrote down the note to talk about this chicken thing
tonight. Oh my god.
That's so funny.
Nobody can see the chicken. What did the chicken do?
Unfortunately, nobody can see the visual here, but just, you know, you move your head and your neck back and forth like a chicken that walks.
I mean, you've all seen chickens before. It's the same way that a pigeon, for example, walks. That could have very well been called the pigeon head.
Doesn't have the same ring to it, though, pigeon head.
Three-way jinx. Definitely three-way. So, you know,
wow.
I learned something new tonight at 32.
Oh, my God.
Does anybody have anything they want to talk about?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Actually, I do. I was going to say you just blew my mind, and you did, which made me realize that the last time I said that somebody blew my mind was yesterday, and I made a mental note.
Was it a chicken?
Not about a chicken. Okay. So, yesterday, one of my students told me that we're talking about Facebook, and he was like, you want to know something crazy about Facebook? I was like, yes. You know, students, they always know.
Always.
They're like more tech savvy and whatever. So, like, yes, I do. And he's like, yeah, you know when you get like those like friend suggestions and it's like some random person that like you don't have any friends in common or anything? Like, he's like, that means that they've looked at your profile. Like, that's how those are generated. It's people that looked at your profile. And then, like, they, you know, like, looked you up on Facebook for whatever reason, and then they become a friend request. Is this not blowing your mind like it blew my mind?
That means
that you can't actually creep quite so anonymously. It also means,
I'm
like,
comfortable with this.
Yes, think about, like, it made me think about all of the times where I've been like, oh, that's such a random suggestion. Like, for example, like, there are people that I just, like, kind of, like, vaguely know who they are, but we don't have any, like, friends in common necessarily, and they come up as a Facebook request, and I've kind of been like, oh, that's so random. Like, Facebook really knows that, like, there's something in the algorithm that's, like, telling it that we're like living in the same place or something, that they're coming up. No, that person totally creeped on you. And that's why they're your Facebook like request.
I don't like that. So I guess I'm not really creeping on too many people these days, but like 23-year-old me does not like that at all.
Just like a public service announcement, like keep that in mind. That blew my fucking mind. Like that's all he told me that at the beginning of an hour of instruction. And like, I mean, I taught my class and everything. Like, you know, I'm a pro, like whatever. I did the lesson. But that's my like part of my brain was thinking about that for the entire time and like going through like who would I be coming up as like a suggestion to and who had come up as a suggestion
to. I genuinely thought that it was based on mutual friends.
Well, because mine always have been. Mine always like it's at least one person in common.
Right. Like the way Instagram does it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he said that like when you get to some certain threshold of like mutual friends, then yes. But when it's like no mutual friends, which happens to me a lot, not like a lot, I'm not saying that like, I don't know. Anyway, it definitely happens and you're like, we don't have any mutual friends. Like, I don't even recognize your name. Or sometimes even weirder is like when we don't have any mutual friends, but I do like know kind of like who you are.
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway.
I feel like this is going to be featured in some song on Lemonade Part 2.
Yeah. I mean, but what are your privacy settings? Like, I feel like I don't ever get those, like, if it's not someone that I do actually know or have a fair amount of friends in common with.
I'm searchable. My profile is very private. People can't see anything except for what Facebook, like, makes you show your profile picture and your cover photo. So people can see that from me.
Right.
But other than that, everything is totally private. But I'm searchable. Like, if you make yourself not searchable.
Yeah, I don't think I'm searchable. I think I'm only searchable like through friends. Like you have to be a friend with a friend of mine to find me, I think.
Well, yeah, go and check on that because
scary stuff, man.
I know. Anyways, there was one other thing, Amanda. Last night, speaking of martinis, we had a debate over what was better, vodka or gin.
Yes.
Ooh.
And gin is the correct answer.
No, it's not.
It is, though, because you could drink something delicious that has a flavor, or you could drink rubbing alcohol.
You know what? I think I am the third person. I'm the third person here, so I feel like I kind of have the deciding vote.
All right, let's hear it.
I think it's going to be a case of Redheads Unite, and I'm going to go jam.
No!
Yep. Sorry.
I agree.
You're in serious flavorless alcohol.
And maybe it's because I drank way too much vodka in my early drinking days and kind of overdid it on that.
Yeah.
And then moved on to gin, and I kind of overdid it on that too. So now I think my preference would be actually neither. But if you had to pick, I mean, vodka is just kind of the devil.
It's not, though. Okay, so here was my argument last night. Dirty martini. I didn't have to worry about the amazing olive juice taste being shared by disgusting gin. I got to just enjoy the taste of the olive juice mixed with my delicious vodka.
No, they're a lovely dance. The gin.
They're not.
And the brine of the olive juice. I think they are the perfect companions. The only thing I think is as good of a companion with gin is like cucumber and like mint.
Gin's just disgusting. Although the garnishes I had yesterday were awesome.
Yeah, you had like a full-on pickle snack.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I need to go back there sometime very soon so I can get that exact thing. Yeah. Well, you only had one of the like...
Right.
The one with all the...
Yes,
garnishes.
Because I felt like it would have a sangria effect that, you know, right. You're okay when you have the sangria, but then once you drink, once you start eating the fruit from it, that's when you get really puffed up.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So, anyways, super delicious. Somebody else talk.
I got a coffee table today.
Yay!
Very excited. And I got curtains yesterday.
Hashtag adulting.
I know. I had no idea that like household items would bring me so much joy. So much joy. We hung up the other curtain. Colleen saw one curtain. I had one curtain. So my friend who also recently moved bequeathed me her old curtains because they no longer fit in her new place. And she thought they would look nice in mine. And I was so excited when I got home. I immediately hung one of them up because I couldn't like reach the other side of the window to like hang the other one. But I just was so excited. I like just had to
laugh. Oh my God.
So, you know, I'm like three drinks in, like teetering on a chair, like trying to like, cause it's like, we had these big, beautiful, what's the, like the curtain rods left over from like the landlord installed them, and they're really pretty, but they look mm-hmm. really bare when there's nothing on them. Yeah. It's just like starting to get some up on there. And yeah. So we put the other panel up today.
Nice.
So it doesn't look so weird.
Yeah.
So it's just so excited. You know, we're just like really excited. And you just like want to do it. You just,
yeah.
So did it, I did.
Good times. Yeah. Shandy, is anything going on with you?
I'm like on the countdown here until I have one more work day. I have before I leave on vacation.
I thought you like left tomorrow and today was your last work day.
Yeah,
I'm actually going to work tomorrow and my husband's working tomorrow too. Mm-hmm. The plan, like originally, like we're leaving on Saturday, but then we decided to just leave. Now that like when we sort of changed our plans and we're going to be like just road tripping up north, like we decided just to leave Friday night because we want to get to Coeur d'Alene faster on Saturday. So mm-hmm. yeah. So one more day of work, a little bit more stuff to do. I haven't packed or anything, but it's like one of those trips where it's not really stressful to pack for because we'll be in our car. So there's no like restrictions on what I can bring that, you know, like if you're flying or something, there's no, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, anything that like, if I forget something, I can just get it there. It's an easy one in terms of that. I still have a giant, giant pile of laundry on my guest bed behind me here. And that may or may not get fixed before we leave, but yeah, that's about it.
Nice. So then will you guys drive all through the night or?
No, we're going to probably drive to like Reno and then somewhere around there, stay the night. And then, and then we won't have that far to go for the next day, like get up sort of early-ish and like hopefully get there by the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
So that we can actually like have part of Saturday to hang out.
Nice.
I'm very excited. Nice. Got my books. Yeah.
I like the site Delisted or whatever. And today they had a headline: where were you when you found out that Bob Ross's afro wasn't all natural? So I guess
sitting in this chair right here.
Yeah, exactly. What?
I'm closing tabs so I can get to the emails or whatever, and that was the tab that was up.
And so what, was it a perm? Like what?
Yes,
was it?
It was a perm. It was fake.
Okay.
And that sort of shocks me a little bit. Like, I'm like, oh, Bob Ross, I thought that that was your hair, but
it was the era.
It was the era. Like,
and that means that he made an actual conscious choice
to have
that hair.
He's like, this looks good on me. Uh-huh. He's like, I'm living my best life with this hair.
Yeah. So
it's
again,
like more hardcore.
Yep.
There's more of today in random for you. I'm so sorry. Wow. Like, that just had to come out before I closed the tab. I was like, oh God, I gotta share this.
That almost seemed to have affected me more than the Facebook stalker thing. I'm not sure why. Hashtag potential priority problems.
Hashtag, I guess you're not a stalker on Facebook.
Nope. No, I am not.
But it's not even about like
living my life. Can't be bothered. Oh,
for me, it just, what blew my mind about that was thinking about those requests. Like you can like go now, like look at your requests in Facebook, or not your requests, sorry.
Your suggested friends.
Yeah. You might know this person. Look at those people, go through that list. And just tell yourself, everyone who either has zero friends in common or like one or two friends in common, those people have looked at your profile. And
okay, where do I see these suggested friends again? Oh, forget it. Tell me after.
Okay.
Tell me now, because other people might want to know, actually.
Are you on... Well, if you're on your phone, if you just go to... Let's see.
I think it just shows up when you...
Yeah, it's usually your feed.
Right, like it does just show up on your feed, but you can also go to the little friend request icon that's like next to the messenger thing on the bottom, like on your phone. And then if you have any friend requests, they're there, but then underneath that is people you may know.
Interesting.
It's crazy.
I'm just going to click on as many random people as I can and see how many of them friend request me, just to see. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start a running tally because, you know.
Sure, why not?
Oh, my God. Okay, social experiment's about to happen. I'm going to write that down. Facebook. Okay. All right, so moving on. I think we should thank the patrons.
Right, good
plug
idea.
Plug the Patreon. So we're part of Jane Jack Network, so we need to bring in our own peeps. We got a new one today. Thank you, Mr. Kolke. Welcome. Yay. He is with hers.
Yeah, he is.
Yay.
Yeah, so if you are interested in being a patron, you can join anywhere from $1 to like $500. I do this speech every week. It's one of the one things that I don't have to look at my little notebook to talk about, or I guess random tabs on my computer. but if you want to, you know, we've got some you know, good people that are in the Facebook group. If you're a member, if you are support us at $5 or more, you can get in the patrons Facebook group. The three of us are in there, and we talk to anybody that talks to us because hashtag we drink wine. So yay.
Although I think you're the only one drinking wine today.
I know.
Yay!
Yeah.
Did you get that pumpkin?
I'm drinking with my my special Sam Adam laser glass.
Oh, that's right. Awesome. Yeah. Good
and
time.
I'm drinking from the bottle because that's all right. How I am. And by the bottle, I mean like just, you know, not like bottle. But anyway, keep going.
No, but it's a bottle.
Yeah. I mean, usually beer comes in an individual serving bottle.
Right. It's a 12-ounce bottle, yeah. People.
You're not drinking a 40.
Right.
Why not?
Because it's Thursday. That is clearly a Friday beverage.
Exactly. I have one more work day. So.
That's true. Yeah. And you can drink 40s for the next 2 weeks.
Exactly.
But anyways, if you would like to consider being a patron, that would be really great. We would love to have you. You can go to patreon.com/jandjack, or you can go to jandjack.com and go to the top right corner. There is a link up there to become a patron, and it will take you there. So please consider doing so. And if you're at $5 or more, you can go to the patron. When you're in the patrons group, you can hashtag I'm with her. Because, you know, not that we're measuring our dicks with the rest of the guys, but we would like to. Because
ours are thicker.
Yeah.
They are. Or, you know, if not, you can just go to the regular Facebook page, which is facebook.com/group/JandJackGroup, and we're in there too. So that is that. Thank you if you are already a patron. Moving on. Does anybody else have anything? I think that we had an article or two to talk about. I found this one today, and it was called Being Lazy is a Sign of High Intelligence, study shows.
Oh.
And it made me super excited. So a new study shows that people who are lazy are actually smarter. That's because lazy people have more time to think. People who fill their day with a lot of physical activity are described as non-thinkers. By staying busy, they are trying to escape their thoughts. People with higher IQs are not easily bored. As a result, they spend more time with their thoughts, according to the study. Researchers found that lazy people were able to mentally entertain themselves. So sleep in tomorrow. You deserve it, genius.
I don't know. Now I feel like I'm stupid. Because I do need to I do need to fill my day with stuff. But I'm never bored.
This is also from AOL.com, so please take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, dude, AOL, I'm super offended.
I feel like
I'm somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, there are a lot of like articles like that come out that like I think are basically just meant to make us feel better about whatever sort of like negative habits we have.
So what you're saying is they're geared towards us millennials.
Yeah, no, I think people in general. No, they're
the trophies for us adults.
Yeah, I mean, they take a study and sort of apply that. Like, what was the study? How many people? And wait, what? Yeah, okay, sure. I don't know. More time with your thoughts. I don't know. I like to kind of daydream. Does that mean that I'm a genius? I'll take it.
Yes.
I'm also really lazy.
I would be lazy. I mean, I'm half lazy. I don't clean my house nearly as much as I should. But
well, that's most people.
Oh my God, Colleen! Clean, Dude, yesterday, our housekeepers came yesterday, and I feel accomplished because of it. My apartment's clean.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
I mean, we like scheduled it. My husband scheduled it, but still. And he like let them in and whatnot. I didn't do anything. I just came home and it was clean. That was great.
Oh my God. And then I guess we had one more thing, and this is titled, People Are Pissed About This Guy's Article About Bothering Women with Headphones.
Right. Yes, I would like to talk about this.
This author, Dan Bacon, a self-described dating and relationship expert, writes that if a woman is wearing headphones, it does not mean that you can't talk to them. What to do to get her attention? 1, stand in front of her with 1 to 2 meters between you. 2, have a confident, easygoing smile. 3, if she hasn't already looked at you, simply get her attention with a wave of your hand. Wave your hand in her direct line of vision so she can see it. 4, when she looks at you, smile and point out her headphones and say, take off your headphones for a minute, and pretend to be taking headphones off your head so she fully understands.
Because she's dumb.
That is, like, I feel like at this point you're getting a drink thrown in your face. If she doesn't understand, simply gesture that you want to talk to her for a minute. I'm sorry. If she doesn't understand, simply gesture that you want to talk to her by briefly pointing back and forth from you to her, say, I want to talk for a minute. In most cases, you won't have to go to that extreme, but some girls are shy and will be hesitant to take off their headphones right away because they are feeling nervous or excited about what is happening. What in the actual fuck? I just want to say that the only time it's ever acceptable for somebody to come up to me and say, take your headphones off for a minute, is if they're also going to follow that up with, because the building is on fire and you can't hear the fire alarm with your headphones on.
Or like, I am bleeding, like, there's something.
We have an active shooter situation.
Yeah. Like, there's a bear behind me.
Yeah. Like, you know, like in like a comedy movie, like, take them off. There's a bear behind you.
What?
Or in like, you know, Scream 17. The killer's behind you. Take your headphones off. Again.
I can't hear you. I've got my headphones on.
What? These extreme situations are pretty much the only time it's acceptable to do that. 5 is, then, do what we call acknowledging the awkwardness by quickly mentioning something about the potential awkwardness of the moment. See the conversation example below. To demonstrate you understand that approaching a woman in this way isn't the most common of experiences for either party. This helps to put her at ease and know that you are a cool guy who she can relax and open up to.
The coolest.
Like, super cool.
The coolest. He, like, totally respects your boundaries and, like, doesn't think that he has
the right to talk
rights
to you.
Over you. Yeah.
Your headphones are on.
Such a cool. I know I would want to talk to that guy. What a winner.
Nope.
Super cool.
Yeah, what a fucking jackass. I mean, this is obviously not respecting, like, a lot of times, like, I wear headphones because, A, I don't want to talk to you. B, I'm busy listening to something. So, C, leave me the fuck alone. And I've literally done that before. Like, yesterday, for example, so I was walking home, and this couple was, like, driving on the street and stopped me. And, like, I immediately took my headphones off because of the situation. They were asking for directions. It's like this German couple, and they were lost. I'm happy to do that. But if it's, like, this fucking guy, like, I have before motioned to somebody, like, I can't hear you. I have my headphones on and kept walking because I'm fucking, like, I am 100% serious. I am that big of a raging bitch.
I was going to bring that exact point up. Living in New York, that happens a lot. And I find it really rude, especially that, like, you start talking and I haven't even taken my headphones off yet. Like, you're just asking me for directions, whatever. Like, I obviously can't hear you. I'm not just doing this to, like, keep my ears warm. You know, it's one thing that like you're lost, like tap me on the shoulder, wait a minute, let me take my headphones off, and then be like, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Like, right. Can you tell me, you know, where Fifth Avenue is? That's fine. But don't like tap me on the shoulder and immediately start talking. And like, now I feel like an asshole because I've got, you know, shit in my ears and I can't hear you.
I have to take them out. Okay, so you have to take out your headphones. They have to start over because you didn't hear, because you couldn't hear what they were saying at first. And now you also have to like fucking like take out your phone so that you can pause whatever podcast it was you're listening to and then like rewind to get back to where you were. All because these assholes just think that they have some right to talk to you.
Well, and that's what it is. It's not just like, it's not like you're wearing like earplugs. You are wearing something that is attached to another device on your body. So it really is a two button thing. It's the physical taking them out of your ears, but it's also hitting the pause on the phone, and not everyone walks around with their phone in their hand.
Right. So
it's just like, yeah, it's just like a little more involved. That like find someone who's reading a book. Talk to them. It's a little easier.
And by all means, if you're like trying to hit on someone, just don't do that. Like, don't follow this horrible advice.
No.
So, talk about horrible advice. There is also, as a part of this article, a list of common mistakes that guys make when approaching women who are wearing headphones. So,
oh my God, I would love to hear this.
Okay, so if you have already listened to what we just talked about for the last 5 minutes and you still think these bitches are wrong, then these common mistakes are for you.
Yeah. Buckle up, buddy.
Well, common mistakes that men make when they're approaching women is that they try to talk to them when they're wearing their fucking headphones. Yeah,
yes. That you're approaching them at all.
Either get a pen and paper right now. We'll wait. Or take your phone out and, like, start, you know, typing as fast as you can, or put me up to Siri or something. Or, you know, just ask us in the Facebook group and maybe I'll link you if I remember. So, here we go. Ready? Approaching in a nervous manner. If you want the interaction to go smoothly and not feel awkward for either of you, make sure that you approach and talk to her in a relaxed, confident manner. Most women are attracted to the strength in men, example, confidence, masculinity, and turned off by the weakness, example, nervousness and anxiety. So if you are nervous or anxious, she probably won't be interested in talking
to you. Okay, wait, can I just put a quick parenthesis? Because for, like, the strengths, they listed masculinity. So for the weakness, like, wouldn't they, like, what they're really meaning is femininity. So fuck you. Right?
No, the weaknesses were nervousness and anxiety.
Well, but they didn't put feminine, but if they put the, like, the antonyms of what.
No, because I think that a feminine-ish dude could be confident, I guess. I don't disagree. I disagree
with. Of course you do, because you're not an asshole. I'm just saying.
But I would like to just point out that I think, in general, most of us are attracted to confidence versus, you know, nervousness and anxiety. Because, you know, human nature, you're uncomfortable when you're talking to somebody that's, like, fidgeting and whatever. But again, this dude's an asshole, and that's not really the point.
Well, and it's telling that he put in, like, the word masculinity.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway. I'm going to skip the next one because I want to finish with that, because I feel like that's really your gem here. So number three is not leading the conversation. If a shy guy stands in front of a woman and is lost for words, she's most likely going to just put her headphones back in and say, nice to meet you, bye, as she walks away.
Yep.
Leading a conversation with a woman is not about bossing her around, being arrogant, or being too assertive as you talk to her. Instead, you simply need to remain confident and keep the conversation going in a relaxed, easygoing manner. Four, sticking to polite or reserved conversation. Oh, so here's where, you know, you're polite and reserved. I'm glad this is number four. Five is don't include any flirting. Oh, I'm sorry, not including any flirting. Flirting is the most discreet way for a man and woman to communicate sexual interest in each other without actually having to say, hey, I'm interested in you in a sexual way. Hey, remember that whole debate we had over flirting versus hitting on? Wink, wink.
Yep.
Oh.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. If a guy doesn't include any flirting after getting a woman to take off her headphones, it just sounds like such a euphemism.
I know.
Totally got her to take off her headphones, if you know what I mean. Wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, episode title, take off your headphones.
It's for podcast.
Yeah, right. But really, we won't flirt with you, so keep them on. If your intention is to get a woman's phone number so you can possibly take her on a date, make sure that you attempt to flirt with her and see if she flirts back. If she flirts back, it usually means she's interested and open to getting, you know, further. I just can't. And then here's the one I skipped. You ready?
Ready.
I don't even know if I can say this.
Hardly wait.
Okay. Giving up too easily.
Oh, no! No!
I think my head's going to explode.
I think it did.
That's why I saved the best.
Where's the back of my head?
Headphones are a great barrier between a person and the rest of the world. Some women wear headphones because they don't want guys or anyone else to speak to them. So if you try to talk to a woman and she clearly shows she's not interested in talking to you, just respect that and walk away. Oh, gosh. However, sometimes...
Period, end of sentence. Article
yes,
done.
Wiser, however.
However, sometimes a woman will be interested in talking to a guy, but she won't immediately pull out her headphones and show interest. Why? Yes, she will.
Yeah.
She fucking will.
No.
If you approach me and you're hot and I'm single, I probably will take my headphones off and be like, hey, what's up? Not
See,
like...
I think, Colleen, I think what this guy is explaining to other men is that yeah. No, but okay. So I was going to say, oh, Colleen. So clearly this writer, what he's communicating to all the other men out there is that women don't really know what they want and they're kind of stupid. So they might not first realize that they want to talk to you. So that's why you just have to keep doing it. And then they'll finally realize like, oh, I do want to talk to this guy.
Oh, actually just wait. It gets worse. Because what you're
saying,
he's not about to say what you're saying. Some women like to test to see how confident a guy is by ignoring his attempts to converse with her and then seeing what he does next. So no.
No, that they're
we know what we want. We're manipulating.
Manipulating little minxes.
Manipulating girl. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, this is spectacular. And I didn't even finish reading the article. I'm not even going on further. I mean, there's ways to approach women. You guys don't have this open, so we won't do it. But if you did, we could. There's a actual sample conversation that you should have.
Yep.
Which we could do, because... one of us could be the man, one of us could be the woman, and then one of us could be the stage direction. Because there's stage
the return
direction.
Of the broadcast players.
Okay, let's do it. I'll send you the link again. Yep, hold on.
Okay, I call stage directions because I'm not an actor.
That's fine. I'll be the dude.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, the second link I sent you.
Okay.
And then it's below it's below the third picture with the two people with the headphones and she's got the water bottle.
Wait, hold on. Allow and remember.
Oh my God. In this picture, she's just so happy to talk to him.
Oh God. Oh, and they're sharing headphones. Gross.
Yeah. Oh, and he just interrupted her workout, but she's still super jazzed.
Yep. Oh, and he's like all leaning in.
Okay.
Yeah, right, he's totally taking up her space and, like, boxing her in with his arm.
Yeah, I don't like that body language.
Not at all.
Okay, so you're looking at this, for example, a shopping mall or shopping street.
Okay, you guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shandy, you start with the for example and the stage directions.
Okay.
I will be you. You will be Jessica, Amanda.
I will be woman. It says woman.
I'm sorry. Okay, you be woman. Ready?
Okay. For example, in a shopping mall or shopping street. Smile in a friendly, confident manner.
Hey, I know it's not normal for people to talk to someone with headphones in, but I was walking along and saw you and thought, wow, she's hot. And I have to come over and say hi. I'm Dan. What's your name?
Dan, how you can tell by the name.
Jessica.
Add in some humor to get her smiling and create a spark between you.
Cool. Nice to meet you, Jessica. I don't normally talk to girls with headphones in, but your big green headphones were just calling out to me.
Barf! Woman possibly smiling or laughing. Also possibly not. Sorry, that was a tutorial. Oh, sorry, you.
Sad, uncomfortable laughing.
If you're in a shopping mall or city street, let her know that you have something else to do besides talk to her so she understands that you're not going to stand there talking to her for 30 minutes.
I'm just out doing a bit of shopping at the moment. How about you?
Oh, no.
If it's clear that she's interested in talking to you, keep the conversation going. And if she's not busy at that moment, sit down with her and have a chat for a while before getting her phone number and parting ways.
Oh my god. But don't forget, sit down with her. I'm sorry. If she's not interested in talking to you, keep the conversation going.
Yeah. Just keep trying, you know.
Because don't forget.
Just to get to know the real you.
Don't give up too easily.
Yeah. She's just testing you.
This might be my favorite article that we've ever read.
Oh my god, this is making my soul so sad.
I guess I think the thing is, like, we can like look at this and obviously laugh at it and like not take it seriously at all. But what worries me is that not only does this man who wrote this probably actually believe in this, there's like a whole like pretty big part of our population that's probably like, oh yeah, good tips, things do.
Yeah, and it's well, and the sad thing is it's a lot of probably really sort of socially awkward gentlemen that like just want some advice and like can't necessarily.
That was such a polite way of saying it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to be polite.
Listen, if you're a socially awkward gentleman, do not read that guy's articles.
No,
he's fucking wrong.
Because he's setting you up for such failure, and then you're never going to want to talk to another human being ever again.
And you will stay socially awkward. That
yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah. That will exacerbate it, because then women will think that you're a fucking asshole.
Exactly, because it's not going to go well for you.
No.
Exactly.
No, it's not. Or women are going to fucking humor you because they're worried that if they don't, like, you might assault them or whatever, and they just kind of, like, have to, like, appease you until they can get out of the situation. Yes. So don't take that to be indicative of them like actually, you know, falling for this method.
Dude. Yeah. They were just listening to like the TED Radio Hour and you just came in and like ruined their day.
Seriously.
Good times.
Right. Yeah, this is making me sad. Let's move on.
We got so much feedback. We only released our episode as we're recording about 7 hours ago, and we've got a shitload of feedback. So,
which is awesome.
I know.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
So we had a little bit of feedback in the Facebook group, and that is referencing the catfish discussion that we had. Michael said, having watched the episode of Catfish reference, the person catfishing was not a guy, and the person catfished seemed to have social issues. Neither person came off bad in the episode. Huh. And the woman catfishing him started it as an escape, and it snowballed. She pretended to be Katy Perry for 6 fucking years, and she didn't come off bad in the episode? I mean,
yeah, what?
You need to really pay your editor's MTV must be fucking amazing. Best in the game. Many times the people who catfish are trying to escape a terrible home or hometown environment, and it grows from there. Blaming guys for catfishing is odd, since the term originated when a man was catfished by a woman. Then Colk followed up with, I also watched this episode and thought it was hilarious, all cap lock. I mean, there was definitely something special about that dude. So Michael's point was that just assuming that dudes catfish guys is wrong because the, I guess, I don't watch the show, but I guess it is frequently women catfishing men.
Yeah, I think I was the one who was like, oh, it's probably a dude. I did not know the history of the term, so thanks for pointing that out. But I also don't think it's necessarily weird to just, like, assume that, because women are usually, like, women are harassed online a lot, and a lot of it comes from men. So I think that it's, like, as an assumption, I think it's kind of, like, fair, but I didn't know that that was something that happened first with some chick. So there you go. You learn something new every day.
Indeed.
And then there was one other thing, and that was Allison posted something about mimosas.
Right.
So
yes.
Do we want to do a live episode where it's
yes.
brunch time for everybody and
yes.
we're just drinking champagne and it will be the most embarrassing episode ever by the end of it?
It will be awesome.
Because you will have to take a nap.
Okay, you know what? I will have to take a nap, but I'll be taking a nap at like 11 a.m. So.
Just like Colleen.
Excellent.
Because, I mean, I don't know what brunch time, like what you consider brunch time. I'm kind of an early riser, but I can get up early since I'm 3 hours behind you. I can get up like extra early so that it's still brunch time for you guys.
Oh, we can drink champagne at any point and pretend. Don't worry about it. People don't have to figure out time zones.
Yep.
It's an illusion, Michael.
I've been rewatching that lately.
Oh, I love it.
Oh,
so
good.
So good. So good.
So we had another email from Lukewarm.
So Lukewarm wrote to us and said, Colleen, Shandy, and Amanda, I realized that it has been 7 weeks since my last update, so I thought now was a good time to fill you all in on how things are going. I previously wrote in asking about physical chemistry and compatibility. There was a gap in physical experience between my partner and I, and the chemistry wasn't always there. Communication and understanding is key. I made sure to be vocal about how I felt and asked him to do the same. I would introduce new, fun, playful elements into our bedroom life, and as time went on, we started to get a better knowledge of each other and more comfortable with each other, and it continued to get better and passionate as we stop thinking and just start enjoying the moment. Things are going really well, and I've been trying my best not to compare and contrast my new relationship with my last experiences. That is very smart. Mm-hmm. I will also add that I read this interesting article about relationships putting individuals into buckets of a spark chaser who looks for the person who will satisfy every need while making you feel like you are in the butterflies in high school type of love, or a long burner, a monogamist who knows the spark is replaced by other things that are more valuable to them, a sense of family with the other person, a deep sense of belonging, a partner who is there for you when you get sick. Two quick quotes. Chemistry doesn't give a fuck if you're deeply attracted to a Republican who would make you incredibly miserable. And true monogamists are there for the benefit of adding a partner, a family member to your day-to-day life that a sister or mom or pet can't possibly provide. Thanks. Signed, Steamy Lucas, formerly Lukewarm.
I love that.
Me too.
I guess before we go on, yay you that you were successful and getting steamy and shit, but like super happy for you, dude, fist bump or whatever. I love this spark chaser thing.
I think there are two types of people in the world. The types of people who put people into two categories. It's always interesting. So wait, we have the spark chaser who looks for the person who will satisfy every need while making you feel like you're in the butterflies and high school type of love, or the long burner, which is a monogamist who knows the spark is replaced by other things that are more valuable to them, a sense of family, etc. I don't think that sums up all people. I really don't.
I don't think it sums up all people, but I think that it sums up how a lot of people may enter a relationship thinking that that's how they go. Like, you've got these people that are always looking for, you know, the butterfly feeling to follow them around for the rest of your life because that's how, that makes them feel good about themselves. So that means their relationship is validated because they have somebody that's constantly making them feel like appreciated and valued. And, you know, there's, you know, this awesome, great love affair, passion, blah, 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 blah. Because, I mean, let's face it, the first year or two in every relationship, you've got that and you feel wonderful about it. And it's why you stick with somebody, right? Because you've got that. So I see that, the person that's always chasing that because they feel like, you know, that's the thing that satisfies them emotionally. And then you've got this person that's described as the long burner, and that's the person who knows that initial spark, you know, or rather they accept that the initial spark is replaced by other things that, you know, just as you grow older and mature more, I guess. And I think that you could totally find a place in the middle where you understand that there's going to be times where your relationship ebbs and flows, where it's going to be, there'll be times where, you know, things are hot and great and whatever. And then there's going to be times where, you know, outside stresses and tensions take over and you've got, you know, the sense of family and belonging or whatever. I don't know. I really like these two definitions. I think that really you should find the perfect balance between them, but I think that is a really great place to start to look at how certain people evaluate their worth within relationships, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I guess my thought kind of dovetails into that. I think there's kind of two ways to unwrap this. One, to me, it kind of seems like these are the opposite sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And it, you know, leaves out the whole like middle land, that you're either like super intense or like super boring. That's also kind of how I take that. You know, like they kind of.
But I don't see it as boring at all. Like you can.
No, and I don't.
Awesome
I don't.
Times when I don't you've got either. Stability of a partner.
I don't either, but I think it sort of is like two extremes on either side of
which
should be a plane of different. Yeah. But the other way you can look at this is that, like, you could sort of be both of those categories in the course of your life. You know, like, a spark chaser to me seems like someone who's a little immature, that little, you know, when you're starting to date, you have this romanticized idea of what relationships are, and that, like, you know, you're one true prince that is just going to fill every, like, corner of your life that you need them to.
Oh, that's and funny. Then, you went with that. I went with somebody that's going to have sex with you all the time.
Well, then, you know, okay, so I'm feeling a little PG today, I guess.
drink more beer, dude.
Yeah.
I'm out. We might have a PG podcast.
Let me finish my point, and then I'll go get another beer.
Okay, and I'll pee too.
Yeah, yes. And then the sort of opposite end is like the long burners that, like, you know, you date a lot of shitheads, and you sort of get to the end of your dating life, and you're like, ugh.
No, totally disagree on that.
Well, I am just presenting two potential ways.
Well,
to
I don't think
frame
you have to date a lot of shitheads to do that. I think it's just the way that you look at what you're looking for long term.
Yeah. I mean, I am sort of in line with Shandy that I don't think you can put people into two categories. Like, I think it's too limiting.
Well, so.
But to kind of, for the sake of discussion, to kind of see what other ways we can frame this idea. Because I don't think it's a completely wrong idea. I think it's just a little limited.
I don't think that people are necessarily... I think that there are people that are totally people that's what they're looking for out of a relationship, either one or the other. But I don't think that you necessarily should be doing that. I think you should be looking for
a
healthy combination of the two.
And it's not everyone. And I agree that it's like if you're sort of all in one camp or the other, then neither one is 100%...
And neither one is sustainable.
It's sustainable, exactly. So,
Shando?
Yeah, you're dying over there.
Yeah, and your opinion is the only thing keeping Amanda between herself and another beer.
Oh, yes, okay.
So, think about that.
I'll try to be concise.
Think about that.
It's not my forte. I guess I'm just confused. I'm a little bit confused about the definition of the spark chaser because, A, it makes me think that the spark chaser is, like, in a series of relationships that are never going to last long because the spark is going to die, but also is looking for a person to satisfy everything for you, which doesn't necessarily seem like
I can think of three people that I know off the top of my head who are spark chasers. And
but does that, so does that
have
mean
he ever been in a healthy relationship though?
Well, no, but and does it mean that, I don't think there's anything unhealthy necessarily about like either model, but I'm saying, like, does that mean that the spark chaser then like dates people for a short amount of time, or just like it has a series of hookups because it all, like, if you're chasing a spark, then it always has to kind of be new and different, and which I think everyone needs novelty. It's just
absolutely.
It's just the degree to which you take that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I say, like, I think you need to come to, it's not sustainable to be too much in either direction. Because, anyway,
Beer just break? Talking about, so whether or not that means, like, I was trying to, like, really understand the definition of the spark chaser. But I think, I mean, Colleen, I think that you're right to say that we all need some sort of degree of both. Although, actually, I'm going to put an asterisk in that. Some people don't need the long burner. So I think that the
and
long burner.
Some people don't need the spark chaser. Like, some people
think, no, you
looking.
Need, I think, no. You can't be married to somebody for 50 years and not have something new and spark-worthy.
No,
and
I think no, that, you know. Yeah.
I think there are people that just want to be married, and it doesn't matter if there's a spark or not.
They just want to be married. They just love the companionship.
So
and but to you it is, but to them it's not. Like, they want that companionship, and to them marriage is about having a lifelong partner.
Yes, but your lifelong partner should hopefully surprise you sometimes, because you don't ever fully know your lifelong partner. And like, isn't
absolutely.
That why people go on vacation together and have new experiences so that they can add
And I'm also
spice.
Sure that's why couples therapy exists. That's what I'm saying. Like, you could be happy, like, in either direction, but I think that the best is probably somewhere in the middle. Like, you know,
yeah, and I would argue the majority of humanity live somewhere in the middle.
I don't know, though. I think that there are a lot of unhappy people out there because they're living on one side or the other side.
Unhappy,
but do you
exactly.
Think, but do you think they're unhappy because they are trying to force themselves into a direction that they think they're supposed to go, and really they do
probably
live
probably,
somewhere in the middle?
That's what, that's what,
or they don't
normal.
Even realize, like, they're going down, like, they don't realize what they're missing on the other side, and then one day they wake up and go,
isn't that
you
the
know,
truth?
Right, yeah, they wake up and go, you know, I want some spice in my life. Or on the other hand, they wake up and they go, you know, I want some stability finally. Like, I think you're always going to be missing something. And I think that that's probably a big problem in a lot of relationships, is they go too much in one direction. And there's a time when you have to stop and think, like, okay, again, this is not sustainable. Like, we need to reevaluate, and we need to get back to a place that has a nice mix of both. And I'm not saying, like, you have to have high school love butterflies, like, to be a spark, to get, you know, if you're the long-term person versus that, because, I mean, let's be honest, high school love is really shitty, and, I mean, you're listening to a lot of depressing music, probably. Like, but you know what I mean, like, to add a spark back in. So it is probably something, you know, that we all should evaluate. So if you're out there and you're a spark chaser, think about maybe the fact that you might be missing something else. If you're unhappy, if you feel unhappy, if you're happy, cool. And if you're a long-termer, or whatever the fuck term it is.
Long burner.
If you're a long burner, then think maybe, I don't know.
What do you, actually, no, I want to know this. If you're a long burner.
Spice it up a little, like, baby. You mean, what's the harm? I mean,
tell us what you like. Write to us and tell us
whatever.
I want to know what you do to spice things up. Like, I want to hear from the listeners. What anyone who's in a long-term relationship, like, what do you do to mix it up?
Me too. Me too. I still read Cosmo every month, so please. Oh, dude, Cosmo's really good. Like, it's not like it was when we were kids. Like, they have actual articles on there about social stuff.
That's true. They actually did some stuff about Trick. We were actually, like, trying to get their editor to, like, talk to us, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, and, I mean, you know, some of the stuff they talk about, you're like, really? Like, there's just whatever. But, like,
that's
other
not
time,
a
like,
thing. You just made that thing up to write an article about it.
Like, I remember one, and it was, like, lay naked and run a feather down your entire body. And I was like, oh, why? Yeah.
Like a feather that you put in the freezer for a few seconds.
Exactly. But, like, other things, I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Beer break?
Pee break,
please. Beer pee break, and then I guess holler.
All right.
Holler.
So we have, does anybody have anything else to say on that whole lukewarm debate thing about spark chasers and cooler offers or whatever it was fucking called?
Cooler offers.
About
And they're
spark
just waiting
chasers.
for a cooler offer.
I archived the email already, so I don't even remember what the term was. That was like 20 minutes ago. Nobody
You're a
knows
spark
that.
chaser, or you're a cold shower?
Can I be a shower beer?
Yes,
Mavis. I think that's going to be a
Favorite.
nice thing on the spectrum, a
Favorite.
shower beer.
Yes. Also not cold, like I
There's
don't recommend.
no. Okay. Shower beer. That's your meat in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, no.
All right.
Sorry, hold on.
Actually,
My cat's eating a piece of plastic. Hold on.
fantastic.
No, you don't. No,
actually, a
no.
shower beer is the perfect in the
I'm
middle
just gonna
because
take
it's like
this.
It's a
it's right
shower.
It's hot from the shower,
It's
cold from
hot.
the beer.
Yeah. Exactly. Like you've got your stability of a nice hot shower, but then you've got the like little spark of a cold beer.
Of shower buzz, and it just all makes you feel really good. Yeah,
Right, but you
I love
still have
it.
the stability and
Yeah.
companionship of the shower that's cleaning you off and making you
Exactly.
feel warm. Oh my God. We all need to be shower beers.
But I mean, I try my best.
Yes. We need to be shower beers.
Yes.
Okay.
No, but going back to lukewarm, aka steamy Lucas. Earlier in the email, he had said communication and understanding is key. He made sure to be vocal
Yeah, that's
about how
totally
he
true.
felt. That's great. I think all of that's great advice, and it has worked out in his favor, which I think is to be expected. I mean, that's great. So anyone listening, take steamy Lucas's advice. Do not take the advice of that horrible person with the earbuds thing.
Also, take Beyonce's advice, which is slay.
Also good advice.
Yep.
Slay trick, slay. All right,
Beyonce has
so
very good advice.
we have another email from Darren. Amanda, I think it's your turn.
Okay. So this is from Darren. He says, "Hey guys. So there has been a lot of controversy in the National Football League and in the media about the 49ers quarterback. Oh God, how do you say his name?
Colin
Colin."
Kaepernick, I think. Oh, Kaepernick? You all know what we mean.
If you've read a newspaper recently, you know this story.
Starts with a K, ends with a K.
Refusing to stand up for the national anthem before a preseason football game. He stated to the media after the game, "I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color." Obviously, an action such as this is going to cause controversy. Many believe this action is a disrespectful gesture to people who have and who still currently serve in our military. A lot of, "if you don't like this country, then find another one," comments have been made about his actions. I was curious on your opinion on this topic because I feel like his intentions were not to disrespect people who serve for this country, but use his platform as a professional athlete to voice an opinion on the state of our country. I feel as though instead of trying to be disrespectful, he's trying to highlight the privilege of some and brutality that still exists in our country and how we still have work to do. Your thoughts on him deciding to not participate in the national anthem, question mark? Do you think he went about it the right way for voicing his opinion? Do you perhaps believe the reaction to his actions would be different if he were a white athlete as compared to an African American athlete? Would love to hear your input.
I'm not going to give an opinion yet, but I just want to ask. This is kind of reminiscent of the Olympics where
Oh, with the arm?
the two sprinters did
Yeah.
the Black Power symbol,
Black Power
right?
symbol, yeah. I mean,
Which, you
yes,
know.
yes, and no. Yeah, I think the sort of sentiment is the same. I super agree, Darren. I think the way you phrased the situation, I think is
Hold
really
on.
spot.
I think
Yeah,
Shani's
sorry.
dying
Shani
over there.
might be dying. Are you okay?
Wait, can you hear me?
Yeah,
Yeah, you're dying.
I thought I was muted.
Totally not muted,
No, more
dude.
because we're just concerned.
It was flashing. I totally muted myself to cough.
This
Okay,
is gonna
wait.
be a
Let
blooper.
me tell you if, let no, you tell me if you can still hear me because I'm wondering why my mute button isn't working. Okay, now I'm gonna cough. Can you still hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
You can hear me?
Yeah, sorry.
Well,
How
you
can
don't
you
mute
hear
your. Don't even worry about it. Amanda's gonna re-say the
me?
thing. That's gonna be a blooper. I mean,
no, 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 but I've been muting myself throughout this episode to like eat chips.
No, no, we heard all that too. Thing. Yep, heard all of it.
I don't understand.
I mean, it's not like you were talking shit about us while muting it, and then we heard it anyway.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, those bitches fucking sucks. I hate it.
I can't believe they don't believe in spark chasers.
So dumb.
I would have waited on the fucking chips if I knew that this microphone wasn't actually muting. I'm just so confused. It says mute. I push the button, and it apparently doesn't mute.
She says you can button still like hear kitten. Me.
Button.
But you can seriously still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Oh, I guess.
At least you didn't do something totally embarrassing, dude. Oh, now you're muted.
God damn it.
Anyway, all right, Amanda, start your point again, because this is all going to be a blooper, and it's going to be fucking amazing.
Yeah. Oh my god, my cat, I kind of just want to turn, oh, no. My cat has lost his goddamn mind. He is, like, running around. I was, like, reading that whole thing, and he's just, like, scurrying around the floor, and I was trying really hard to, like, not break character. But, yeah, it's like the Serengeti out here.
Fair enough. All right. Do you remember what your point was, Amanda? Because that is, if so, that's amazing, because I would have forgotten mine already.
Yes, I do. Okay. Yeah. So, Darren, thank you for writing in. I think the way you phrased the whole situation and your outlook on it, I super, super agree. I think he was trying to use his platform to say some things about where we are in our society right now. And I think he was trying to do it in a peaceful way. It was going to be controversial, and I'm sure he went into it knowing it was going to be. And I guess you don't really necessarily do something like that unless you do want to get a reaction, because then it starts a conversation. I respect him for what he did. I don't think it was so much that he was meaning to disrespect vets, and I don't think vets hold the corner on our national anthem. I think it's the entire nation. I think he was just trying to make a point about something that is a big conversation, or that should be a bigger conversation in our country right now. And I'm rambling, so someone please, please take
you're
it.
You're not. Like, you're doing, you are, like, you got 5 minutes on me if I would have said something.
I think, I mean, to go to your point of, like, the issue of, like, veterans and service members and stuff, like, it's just very ironic, this idea that our service members protect our freedom, but then to say, oh, but you shouldn't have the freedom to not participate in a national anthem. It's like, no, actually, like, that's kind of what this is all about, is that you get to choose, you know? And yeah, I think, absolutely. I think that blind patriotism is very dangerous. And I think that anything that, like any sort of legitimate conversation about our faults as a nation and our shortcomings, that's patriotic, I think, because that's what's going to help us become a better country overall. And there are obviously things that have to be addressed. And I think that it's just so great that somebody in this sort of position, like with this platform, can actually start this conversation, like you were saying, Amanda, because it's not everyone that has this sort of privilege. And so the fact that, you know, he's actually going to use his fame to thoughtfully look at, like, broader issues in society, I think that's really commendable.
Yeah.
I was also sort of looking into this story, and apparently, like, he also wore some socks. Did you guys hear about the socks thing?
No, I didn't.
No.
I saw this on Twitter. He wore socks that had pigs on them with police hats. And, like, the police or somebody was freaking out about it, like, saying that it was the NFL's fault. Like, how could they let him do this? This is so, like, not cool. So, and I just thought that was so funny. Like, if you consider the fact that, like, okay, so they're blaming the NFL for that. Like, we're talking about an organization that has a team with a name that's a racial slur. Like, I really don't think the NFL is going to be, like, stepping in here anytime soon to do the, you know, to talk about his socks when, like, really, like,
well, like,
there's a team called the Redskins. Like,
that's real.
That's fucked up.
Absolutely. And I think that just the point, like, from either side or whatever is, anybody on either side could do something like wear socks, and the other side would, you know, be up and armed and screaming and bitching about it. But I did, when you were talking about the servicemen or whatever, like the irony in that, I did think of the quote, "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it."
Yes, I love that quote. Which I love that quote.
Wikipedia tells me that that was actually not Voltaire, like is often attributed, but a woman named Everin Beatrice Hall, who said it in a book called The Friends of Voltaire.
Okay.
But interesting fact.
No matter who said it, like...
Doesn't make it any less true.
Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like that might be the principle of America. Like, I defend your right to say what you want to, even if, you know, I think that what you're saying is shitty. Which, again, also then puts me at odds, because are we fighting to defend Donald Trump's?
No. No, we're not
fighting.
Like,
I don't think anyone is fighting to defend Donald Trump.
No!
I think,
around this circle.
there is an important line that we've drawn as a society against, like, hate speech, for example. Like, that's, you can't do that. You have freedom of speech, but, like, you can't, if you participate in hate speech, like, no, that's not. So
that's true. Hate speech is definitely something that we frown upon in this country, even though the spectacle of the media loves it.
Right, but, and I mean, the thing is...
Yeah, but this isn't hate speech.
Like, right, no, exactly.
This is peaceful protest.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm not saying that anything that any talks of building a wall is anything nearly anything close to this.
I'm going to just Colin.
I think
his last name is too difficult.
Right.
So we're on a first name basis.
Yeah.
He's Colin.
So we just got real friendly.
We got real friendly.
But I think that's the difference between the two types of speech, is that we can protect like the kind of speech that Colin is engaged in, Colin Kaepernick, and you can tell that none of us are really like big sports fans. But
sports. What team? What sport does he play? Cricket.
Football. 49ers.
That's okay. The one with the wooden bat, right?
Right. Exactly. but it's just like any other right. It's like you have the right to do that until it's infringing upon somebody else's right. And so that's where for like
I'll do you one better. Not until it's infringing on somebody else's right, until it's infringing on somebody else's safety.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Which is exactly what Trump, for example, is doing. So that's where we can draw a line, and we don't have to say like, no, we're like, oh, because we're so accepting, we're also accepting of what he's saying. No. Right. Or his right to say it. No, actually no. Yeah. I think that's okay.
Do you think that the reaction would be different if he were a white athlete?
I hate to say it, but probably.
Jinx!
Yeah. I'm not necessarily saying from my own personal opinion, but just where we are as a society, you cannot deny white privilege anymore.
Totally.
Like, you can't deny it. It is a thing. And I think us
you
as
say
three
that,
white...
But there's a lot of people that deny
well,
it.
Well, and, but that's sort of part of it. Like, us as three white women sitting here discussing, for us not to acknowledge that white privilege exists, we are just allowing it to continue.
Well, I think that...
So it's our way to acknowledge it is our way to start to help to...
Right. But I think that it's awesome that our generation seems to be acknowledging it more.
No, I think just to finish, I just wanted to say thank you, Darren, so much for...
Sorry, go ahead. You said just to finish, and I laughed. So.
Oh! So to end this discussion, thank you, Darren, so much for writing in. It was a really interesting topic for conversation. And actually, if any of the listeners have any input on that, I would love to hear it too. So it's so nice to get like such a variety of things to discuss.
I love it. We have a couple of phone calls. First one, I guess. Hold on.
I was going to say, I forgot. You guys can actually see all of me now. This is what I do pretty much every episode.
Yeah, so we have a phone call, but Amanda's itching her boob, like hands straight up down the shirt.
Yep.
So that's exciting.
Yep, that happens pretty much every episode. But now that you have me in the widescreen.
We got the evidence.
You can actually see it. I kind of forgot, but I was like, well, I'm already here. It's fine. Yeah. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
So we have another phone call.
Yes, I'm very excited that we heard back from Will. Thank you for calling in. Yay.
Hello, ladies. This is Will. You know, I can never forget about you. I've just been a listener and not a participator lately. But you know, just in the past week alone, a lot of unexpected shit has happened. Like, here today, I found out I was losing my job. Then today is my last day. Then a few days later, I lost my wallet, which is a pain, having to get everything replaced, having to get charges reversed. Stupid asshole. Trying to spend my money. And then the next day after that, I got picked out of the crowd to be a judge at a nude beauty pageant I went to, which was weird and kind of didn't want to be a judge, but ended up having fun anyway. But yeah, lately I've started putting myself out there again, not in terms of dating, but just in terms of just getting laid, actually. And I know it's a coincidence, but it seems like everybody who shows interest turns out to be married. Like, they throw that in there, like, you know, they don't tell you at first, but eventually they'll say something. I always like, no, no, I don't want to. I'm not interested in sneaking around behind your wife, and I've done that once before, and I'm not proud of it and don't want to do it again. So, I mean, like, one guy got over here, and we were just having a beer, sitting on the couch talking, and he was on his phone the whole time and seemed really nervous. And I noticed eventually that he had a ring on. I'm like, no, 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 no. This ain't happening. So, yeah. So what is it with, well, I guess, you know, what is it with married men? Or did he cheat? I don't know. I'll talk to you later, ladies. Bye.
Yeah. What is it with married men? Fuck you guys. You're the worst.
You know what, actually, my biggest thing that I wrote down here was nude beauty pageant.
I know. I want to know more about that.
I definitely want to know more about that, too.
What are they judging on? Like, what?
Oh, I think you can.
I mean, is it like the overall performance, or is it like specific elements?
I feel like in like actual beauty pageants, to which I'm like obviously very opposed. I feel like they're obviously judging that, but like sort of semi like hiding it in like your talent and whatnot. Whereas like a nude beauty pageant, maybe that's just more honest. It's like, we are going to straight up just judge your body.
Well, unless there's like, all right, how well can you juggle naked? Like what's like, how well can you play the glasses naked?
You know what? If somebody is juggling naked, though, like, are you watching their juggling skills, or are you just, like, fucking
watching everything?
Watching them, watching them being naked.
Probably a little bit of both. Because I don't think you could watch one without watching the other.
I guess that's fair.
That is fair.
Yeah. No, overall, I'm just really intrigued by yeah.
Yes. Will, please call back again and tell us more about this new beauty pageant. But thank you so much for calling in the first place, because we had been having Will withdrawals.
Yep. Truth.
So I'm glad you're putting yourself out there again, but I'm sorry that you're only meeting skis balls. I mean,
seriously. I think
these dudes, like, they just need to talk to their wives and, like, I don't know, like, probably tell them first and foremost, like, come out to them, because
yeah.
Their wives probably think that they're straight.
Well, so, exactly.
They're like either bi or gay, so I feel like that's kind of an important like part of your identity to make.
Right.
Complain about. So that's too bad. I don't know what to tell you there, but good luck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and to your credit, to just to respect yourself enough to be like, yep, nope, not going to do this. Shutting this down right now.
But yeah, good luck. I don't know. Like Grindr, right? Or yeah. Are you finding these guys? Is it all the married men are on Grindr?
Yeah, I think that might be. But, you know, it's like, it's sort of the same thing as like, yes, you can find relationships on Tinder, but that's not necessarily what you enter into Tinder thinking. I would assume Grindr kind of has a similar.
Well, because like Grindr came first, like that's.
But it's just the same sort of mentality of it's like
it's supposed to just be a hookup, like
yeah, it's like yeah,
conceived for yeah,
yeah, a proximity thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I could see a lot of sort of married men that are exploring.
Although that's a little bit dangerous, no? Because like, I mean, unlike the whole thing with Ashley, Matt, is it Madison or is it Madsen? What did you say?
I think it's Madison.
Yeah. Madison. The whole thing with that, you know, like the slutty name.
Well, no, but the whole thing with that was that it was supposed to be private and protected, whereas like Grindr, like anyone can go on search. Yeah. So I feel like if you're a married, like posing as heterosexual male in a monogamous relationship and you're going on Grindr, it's like you're definitely playing with fire because
you want to get caught. Yeah, I don't condone it. I just can see how that is a thing.
I love hearing Will's updates, so I hope that they continue.
Yeah, yes. Thank you, Will.
Please, 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 and please, nude beauty pageant.
We need to know. Inquiring minds.
Yeah. Oh my God. Please. Don't even look. If you're gonna fucking write in and not say that, then don't even bother.
It was just sprinkled in like, oh, this is what I've been up to in the past couple of weeks. Oh, and I was recruited to be a nude beauty pageant judge.
And that was a thing.
And now we'll move on to the next thing. Like, don't.
So speaking of moving on to the next thing, so we have another voicemail. Let's get to that, I guess.
Well, Jane needs to redo your opening song and add poop to it, or shit. Also, you ought to might want to consider renaming this Poopcast. Getting very dirty. About a bidet. I have bought two bidets on Craigslist for $39 each. You remove the toilet seat, put the bidet down, and tap it into the existing water line. The water's not heated, but I gotta tell you, the cool water feels really nice down there. It's just a cheap way to get into the bidet business. Anyway, listen to you later. Bye.
So cool water is better up your ass? Is that what we're all saying? Is
that the point? Refreshing.
It's refreshing. $39 each on Craigslist.
That's a steal.
Yeah. I kind of feel like I've got to go to Craigslist and just investigate this as well. So now I'm going to – my homework for next week or whenever we record next is to stalk as many Facebook people as possible and see how many of them friend request me and check out how much a bidet costs on Craigslist.
Nice.
My note is Craigslist bidet, and I also hope that the title of our next episode could be Craigslist bidet.
Here's my question from that call. What was the – did he talk about reading a book?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I couldn't really understand that part, and I listened a couple of times. So if you could call back and clarify, was there a book you were wanting us to read? Because I'm not really sure what it was.
Yes. I mean, it talks about reading a book, but then it talks about Craigslist. So maybe? Hold on.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I re-listened to it. Can't figure it out. The other thing that he talked about was redoing our theme song, and I feel like that's actually – we do talk more about poop than we talk about, like, clitorises, which is a shame.
But I think that totally changes the whole vibe of the podcast.
Yeah. I love –
Yeah, we're like those cock teases. We're like, we're going to talk about this, but really we're going to talk about shit.
We're talking about one side, but we're going to talk about the other side.
Don't give up too easily, Shandy.
Two in the pink,
one in the stink.
I'm going to put this on the listeners. Like, please, by all means, send us in questions about the clitoris. And I don't know, like, whatever.
Oh, I love my clit. I'll talk about it all day.
Titties and labia and all of that stuff. And we will talk about it. Just send in the questions. I'm ready to go.
Challenge accepted.
That's what I hope everyone is saying when they hear that.
Yep. That was me.
Wait, so the challenge was
the broadcast players. I was just playing the role of our listeners.
The broadcast.
Broadcast. All right. So we have another voicemail. Let's get to that then.
Hey, what's up, broads of the broadcast? Just finished listening to the Friend Zone episode. And I felt compelled to call in. So I really don't understand how there was even an argument surrounding the friend zone. The friend zone absolutely exists for guys and for girls. I've been friend zoned. I've friend zoned people. I've actually been told once from a girl that I was trying to hook up with once. This is going back to us in college. Flat out told me to my face, sorry, bro, but you've been friend-zoned. I'm not interested. So it's something that absolutely exists. I've wanted to be only friends with someone who's definitely wanted more than that with me, and I've most definitely put them in a friend zone. Now, what the individual does after being put in the friend zone is completely and entirely up to them. But that action is completely separate from the absolute existence of what is known as the friend zone. So I will have to cast my vote for Colleen for making a great point. The friend zone.
Up to the yeah.
And it is a thing. See ya.
All right, so I'm pretty sure that that was Chris in Boston, and they recently spoke about this on the most recent Married Men show. But really, who fucking cares what he had to say, because at the end he ended it with, I cast my vote for Colleen.
Okay. But I think that people are kind of maybe forgetting that we are not denying that there is a thing called friendship. And there's a thing called people who are your friends wanting to be more than that, and you maybe not being receptive to that, and vice versa. I think what we were debating, though, is whether or not it's a sexist term and whether or not it's a stupid term. To which both of those, I would say yes.
Yep, so, still think it's stupid.
Right. I'm not saying that, like, this phenomenon of, like, oh, I'm into you and I want to be more than friends, and then the other person saying, I'm not into you, I think that we should just be friends. I'm not saying, and I don't think Amanda, right, I don't think you're saying either, that that is not, like, a thing that happens, right?
Yeah, well, because that's, by saying that, you're denying a certain amount of just natural human interaction.
Exactly.
But it's right. Why we have to give it this stupid name and make... It's like you're, by giving it a name and making such a big deal out of it, it's like it's making it this big, huge thing. I don't know. I just call bullshit.
Thank you. I agree.
Yeah, you guys are both wrong, so okay.
Having a differing opinion is not wrong.
Yeah, but no. For the sake of...
I mean, I'm pretty sure that I'm actually right, so...
I do not claim to be right or wrong. I'm just claiming an opinion and the fact that I think it's bullshit.
Okay, but by calling it bullshit, then you're saying that bullshit is kind of wrong. Like, there's a judgment there.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'm judging it. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I am judging it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm judging the crap out of it, too.
I will give it to you. I will give you that. I judge. I judge. Right. I judge.
All right, so we have another email from Matt. Let's do it.
Voicemail, yeah.
Yep.
Hey, broads. It's your buddy, Matt. I just wanted to recommend a piece of female-created media that I just finished. Just finished book 2 of Victoria Schwab's Shades of Magic trilogy. The book was called A Gathering of Shadows. Book 3 is coming out next year, and I can't wait to see... can't wait to read it. Basically, it's these... kind of Victorian or pre-Victorian era England. There's 4 parallel universes. They're all London, but it's a little bit different. Like, there's Grey London, which is like our world. There's Red London, which is a little bit of a different world with magic. There's White London, which is kind of crazy because there's too much magic or something. And then there's Black London, which is like gone off the rails and has been sealed off from the other 3. And it's kind of about this one wizard who can travel between the worlds. And he finds this artifact in the first book. And in the second book, there's this, like, kind of magic tournament where the people in Red London kind of gather and basically kind of compete for this title between the empires in Red London, and it's a really cool story. For anybody looking for a new kind of fantasy series to kill time between Game of Thrones books, definitely give this one a shot. Victoria Schwab's Shades of Magic trilogy. Start with A Darker Shade of Magic. That's the first book. I kind of want to reread it, because there's so much stuff from the first book that's mentioned in the second book that I'm like, I don't remember what happened. But it's good. So I'll end here with a quick quote or song lyric from another woman, Patti Smith, from her song Gloria. Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. I thought, you know, it's such a cool line, something I couldn't get away with saying, but it's some, you know, Patti Smith could get away with saying. All right, thanks for the good work, and we'll get off the scatological stuff, and we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
I love that Patti Smith lyric. I just love her. I just love her lyrics. She's such a poet. I mean, she is a poet. She's not such a poet. She is a poet. Beautiful writer, beautiful use of word. Yeah, and magic, sci-fi, and Victorian London kind of sounds like my bag, so I would check out those books. Thank you for the tip.
Yeah, adding that to the, I guess the summer is kind of over, but maybe the fall reading list?
Mm.
I'm down with that.
Yes, and thank you for getting us off of the scatological questions.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice to just have a softball.
Or a soft poop.
No, actually, that's not nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're like, oh no, what did I eat? Something's wrong. Oh, sorry, guys, I'm going in again.
That's what she said.
In the boom.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right, so we're going to end on one more voicemail, and it is from John again, talking about his last call. So let's do it.
Hi, ladies. John Norton calling in. I just want to follow up from my last call, the whole friend zone discussion. I'm sorry, I don't think I made Shandy angry enough, so I'll try to do better in the future. But the one thing that I wanted to sort of follow up on that she seemed to really take offense, but really be surprised at was the notion of the fact that I only like one person at a time, only have a crush on one person at a time. I never thought that was that weird. I'm absolutely a serial monogamist, so I only really have eyes for one person, and then, you know, if I hopefully something manifests itself with that person, but then if it doesn't at that point, then I can move on. But yeah, I've always been that way. I only have a crush on one person at a time. But, you know, if I find a girl that I'm interested in, you know, my knee-jerk reaction is, hey, I hope that's the girl that I marry. And then, you know, hasn't worked out that way yet, but hopefully it will one day. And then, like I said, once I sort of know if she's interested or not, then I can kind of move on. But, yeah, that's how I've always been. Serial monogamous, hashtag it. So, yeah, curious for any thoughts. Didn't think that was that strange. Curious what Amanda and Colleen might have to say. So, yeah, go for it. Thanks, ladies. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Shandy, take it away.
So, I guess here's my question. Like, this is an example that I always use is that, like, when you're in a relationship, it's not like everyone else in the world, like, overnight just suddenly becomes totally ugly. So, like, obviously it's, like, natural and normal to still find people attractive and et cetera. Is this not the case for John? Because that's what I don't get. Like, I just don't understand how it's possible to only have a crush on one person at one time. And to not, like, you could have, like, a stronger crush on one person and some, maybe some minor crushes, but, like, is everyone else just, like, disgusting? I don't know.
Well, and let's even dial it back even to, like...
We are all friends with John, so does John want to have sex with us? I mean, in the words of Beyonce, I slay, but, you know.
I don't know. But, yeah, no, the point I was going to make, it's, like, even, like, whether or not you have a crush on someone else, like, yeah, the rest of the world's gonna go ugly. Like, you still notice other people and notice if they are attractive to look at or not. So, yeah, so I would kind of agree that I get the theory behind not having eyes for someone else, but I don't get the actual, like, application of that idea.
Yeah, I think there are so many things where we can say, oh, it's like, it's different for every individual. But I think this is, for me, this is one case of, like, it's very much just like this social sort of construct that's, like, pushed on us that we're supposed to think that this is how it is. And I just don't really know anyone else who would say that, yeah, like, if I'm in a relationship with one person, then it's just like, I honestly, like, don't notice anyone else, or I don't think anyone else is attractive, or I, like, never have some sort of chemistry with somebody else. Even, like, I think monogamy is like actively just deciding that, even though that's a normal human experience, I am going to not pursue that. So yeah. It's a decision that you make.
Right.
It's absolutely a decision. I am choosing to go the road with you.
Right.
Yes.
Because I want to.
Yes, because that's the choice that I've made, and that's the commitment that we have, and that's the, like, parameters of our relationship. I don't think in any way, shape, or form that's, like, sort of natural human nature.
Yeah. No,
it's probably not, yeah.
I mean, I think it's, like, arguably not. I don't...
Yeah, we are mammals, and we're not lobsters.
I mean, if it was natural to be, if monogamy was natural, then when you were in a relationship with someone, everyone else would become repulsive. And you would never, like, people would never cheat because there would be no, like, desire to if it was natural. People would never have a crush on somebody else. People would never think other people are attractive.
People have crushes on everybody else, like, all the time.
All the time. And you can talk with your partner about the crushes that you have. Like, that's, like, part of the fun.
Yeah.
Right.
But, so I just think that, like, again, like, it's not... I just think it's, like, so natural to just be kind of, like, you know, like, I don't know, in tune with like, what you're seeing out there in the world.
Yeah. Well, and I guess and just sort of thinking about this now, that if that is something that John does, that he only has eyes for one person when he's dating them, does he expect the same of his partner?
I would assume so. And I think that that's actually kind of, if that's his mindset, I think he might be setting himself up for failure, and I would encourage him to maybe try to conceptualize it differently. Because I really don't think that most people are like that. That people will say that, like, I mean, people will conform to the social norms as much as they can.
Yeah. Right, because that's human nature.
But I don't think that that's in any way natural, and so I think that if you can sort of accept that it's, like, normal. So, again, it kind of, like, actually makes me think of, like, men who are very possessive about their, you know, girlfriends and wives and stuff. And there's something actually sort of, like, very disturbing and unhealthy about that. And I think that it's better to just accept that we all have eyes, and you can't help that. You can't help yourself. You can help your actions, maybe. You can
always help your actions. Like, you can't help. You can always help your actions.
Let me dial that back, maybe. That can be totally taken into a different context.
Yeah.
but yeah, no, actions are different, but, like, your thoughts,
Yeah.
Right. I hear you. But anyways, geez, on that happy note.
Yeah.
This 1,000-hour podcast.
I know. Guess. Should we send Shandy off on her vacation already?
Oh, my God. Let's do it. We're not talking about poop. Let's thank the patrons. We have some patrons that support us at a specific level. Thank you for Brad from Chicago, Tack from Tokyo, and Eckhart. We really, really appreciate it. We didn't talk about poop at all this episode, which is kind of great. I enjoyed that. No, actually, I didn't. I felt like something was missing. There was no spark. There was no spark.
No spark.
I'm just going to take my headphones off and go to sleep or something. Or keep them on or whatever. But, yeah, Shandy's going to go on vacation. And maybe we might have a special episode being released.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's try to make
that happen. If it happened, that might be awesome.
Yes. Yes, it might.
So, but, yeah, I guess on that note, Jesus, I feel like we're kind of ending this on sort of a downer note. Everybody.
No. Yeah, we're not. Shandy's going on vacation. Yay!
She is. That's true. So, yay! Geez, Louise, just remember, you don't have to take your headphones off for any guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't.
No matter how persistent. Or confident or masculine.
Exactly. Yes. So there's that. We still have that voicemail from Uncle Larry that we're going to play next week. Or whenever we record next, promise.
Oh, and the health benefits of alcohol. We'll get to that next time as well.
And let's be honest, the health benefits of alcohol are definitely something that we can wait on because they ain't going anywhere. But, if you'd like, please leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that. If you want to become a patron, please do so. Patreon.com/JanJack. and hashtag it. I'm with her. Even if you're hers, a current patron,
I'm with hers.
Hers. Oh, sorry.
There's
I don't want to get sued.
Three of us.
I'm with hers. Oh, yeah. But I mean, when I said I was her, I meant you, Amanda.
Oh, so, thanks. I'm yeah. with you too, babe.
I know. Always.
Always.
So,
forever.
Yeah. Amanda and I recorded some fun shit last night with her boyfriend. We might do that in the special episode. Spoiler alert, it also might not happen. We might make that a Patreon level. Who knows? So, anyways, somebody else say something. If not, we're all going to peace the fuck out.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Write us reviews. Yeah. And comment on any of the many, many cornucopia of topics we discussed in today's edition.
Which I don't even remember at this point.
Yeah, I was going to list a few, and I can't even remember. We've been talking
gonna
so long.
I'm going to go be lazy and smart in my bed.
Yep, me yeah. too.
Wonderful. Sounds
excellent.
Good.
All right, so on that note, ladies, peace out.
Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
Goodbye.
See ya. I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Woo! Hey.
We are, and I think we might have to do that again because I started before the...
Oh, yeah, the live sign wasn't off. For the blooper okay. reel.
All right.
I'm going to Snapchat that, actually.
Okay.
Right now.
All right.
Okay, all right. So I just opened my Snapchat, and I am now recording a video of Amanda with her microphone. Oh, and there's Colleen.
Put the pretty filter on me. Put the one with, like, the butterflies.
Let me tap on your face. Okay. And then which one did you want?
I don't know. Just get a pretty one, like a vixen one that'll go with the look.
Can you put the microphone, hold it a little bit lower? Oh yes, because I need to, okay. And then is there any?
She
way...
really wants it to make it look like you're.
Oh, it looks
chicken
so
heading
good.
The mic.
No.
Oh my god, we're going so late.
That's what she said.
I know. All right, Colleen. No, you don't need to put makeup on for this. And you'll see why not when you look at these snaps.
I don't know who that is.
Will from Oregon.
Oh, Will. I thought you said Lil. I was like, who the hell is Lil?
It did sort of sound like Lil. Oh, I have this clear.
Yes.
Wait, what the fuck were we just talking about?
Bloopers. Literous.
I oh know. God. I was looking up a quote to titties. Quote based on what you just said, and then I forgot what you just said, but I've got the quote.
Oh, my God. You're going to have to edit so much of this show.
It's fine. I do that every week. But, by the way, Skypec, Boston, I told Jay before, I was like, because he was like, we don't have any feedback. I don't know what I'm going to talk. We're going to talk about. And I was like, listen, trust me, dude. Ask Boston about the friend zone because he was texting me about it and then he left us a message about it. I was like, just trust me. Your episode's coming out a full week before ours is. Like, just ask him about the friend zone and just step back and you're going to get plenty of topics. And then I got – and Jay never answers me ever when he's recording. So he was just like, okay, we'll do. And I was like, I don't know if that's a brush off or not. But then Boston texted me. You told Jay to ask me about the friend zone, didn't you?